Morning, counsel.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is Evangeline Abriel, and together with co-counsel...
Could you speak a little louder also?
Yes. My name is Evangeline Abriel, and together with co-counsel Jamie Young, I represent Mr. Asakhan in this case. Mr. Asakhan had been a lawful permanent resident of the United States for 19 years and was the single father of three United States citizen children when he was found removable in 2008. The immigration judge erred at both stages of this proceeding. He erred in finding Mr. Asakhan removable as charged, and I will address that point. He also erred in applying an incorrect standard of law in denying Mr. Asakhan's application for cancellation of removal, and Ms. Young will address that point. And, Your Honors, we're going to try to do the impossible, and I'm going to try to speak for 5 minutes, then Ms. Young for 4 minutes, and then save 1 minute for...
I also am having difficulty hearing you. Could you speak louder?
Yes, Your Honor. We're going to try to do the impossible. I'll speak for 5 minutes, Ms. Young for 4 minutes, and then save rebuttal for 1 minute.
Who's discussing Pangilinan?
Pangilinan? Your Honor, I think I am.
You don't know?
All of a sudden it's going blank, Your Honor.
That was in your...
In the 28J letter.
Yeah, 28J.
Yes, Your Honor.
Yeah, and that's a recent case.
Yes, Your Honor.
Are you arguing that that's controlling?
That it's controlling?
Yeah.
Yes, Your Honor. And in this case, the immigration judge in Mr. Asakhan's case actually did about the same thing that the judge in Pangilinan did. He turned the matter over to the government counsel to elicit questions and then failed to actually ask some of the relevant questions that the immigration judge should have asked given Mr. Asakhan's pro se status. And the problem with this, the court in Pangilinan found, was that it created an improper conflict of interest for the government in having to both develop the record and present the government's case.
And how do you think that affected the outcome of this case?
Your Honor, part of our argument is that Mr. Asakhan should have been, the immigration judge should have assisted Mr. Asakhan in developing the record, particularly as to his, as to the existence of a domestic violence waiver of his deportation ground of conviction of a crime of domestic violence. The immigration judge did not do that, and so the Pangilinan case supports our argument that the immigration judge didn't develop the record in the way that he should have in order for Mr. Asakhan to bring forward the evidence about his waiver.
No, Mr. Asakhan was convicted in April of 98 of criminal threats, is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, Your Honor.
In 2004, he was convicted of assault with a weapon other than a firearm?
Yes, Your Honor.
And then also corporal injury to a cohabitant? Is that right?
Yes, Your Honor.
And it's your contention that he should have been told that there should have been inquiry about whether he was the victim of domestic violence on these facts?
Yes, Your Honor.
What reason would we have to think that he was the victim instead of the convicted defendant here?
Your Honor, Mr. Asakhan didn't have the assistance of the immigration judge in developing the record. But even without that assistance, he was able to bring out enough information to show apparent eligibility for the waiver of the domestic violence deportation ground, which is found at Section 1227.
On the grounds that he was really the victim here.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Even though he was convicted of it.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, now what evidence is there that that's really the case?
Mr. Asakhan testified that the mother of his children, Leah Egos, hit the children repeatedly, called him constantly, filed false charges with the police against him, used drugs, and finally abandoned the family.
Okay, how does, even if that's true, which is frankly dubious since he's the one who's convicted, how would that make him a victim of domestic violence that his wife calls him all the time? I mean, I guess by that standard, I'd be a victim of domestic violence. But,
Your Honor, the elements of the domestic violence waiver are that Mr. Asakhan have been the victim of domestic abuse. It need not have been domestic violence. And that waiver is there for a situation like this, where you've got an abusive situation in a household where it might result in one person pleading guilty to a domestic violence offense, but that only being part of a much larger situation going on.
Let's say we don't buy that. His grounds for removability include that he was convicted of a domestic violence offense, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
And that was not challenged before the BIA, right?
No, it was challenged, Your Honor, because if he were granted this waiver, this domestic violence waiver, which goes
I don't see where he raised that. I don't see where he raised that in his appeal to the BIA.
Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor. No, I'm sorry, I misunderstood the question. No, Your Honor, he did not raise that into his appeal to the Board of Immigration Appeals, but the Board of Immigration Appeals in this case adopted and affirmed under matter of Bourbano, which means that all issues raised before the immigration judge were deemed raised before the Board of Immigration Appeals. And here, the existence of a waiver to a deportation grant, particularly here, where you've got a waiver that applies only...
Did he raise it before the IJ, that he claimed he was entitled to a waiver?
No, he didn't, Your Honor, because he didn't know. That was the immigration judge's responsibility to tell him. But so while he didn't raise that waiver before the immigration judge and didn't specifically raise it before the Board of Immigration Appeals, the Board of Immigration Appeals, in its adopting and affirming under Bourbano, considered that, because when you look at an admissibility or a deportation ground, a waiver of that ground is part and parcel of the removal ground, particularly here as in a situation like this where you have a deportation ground that has a waiver specifically going just to that deportation ground. So the domestic violence waiver under Section 1227A7 goes only to the deportation ground of conviction of a domestic violence crime under 1227A2E. They're part and parcel of the same thing. If the Board of Immigration Appeals is deemed to have considered the deportation ground, then it must have also considered the waiver that goes with that deportation ground.
What about the cancellation issue with respect to Panjon? And what should have been developed with respect to cancellation?
Your Honor, Ms. Young is actually going to address cancellation, but I can briefly address that point.
Well, it's up to you if you'd rather have your co-counsel address...
I'll address it briefly and let her add to it. But in Panjilinan said that the immigration judge has the obligation to develop the record, and that's just that's not a new rule. This court has held that for some time, and it's actually part of it's a requirement under the Code of Federal Regulations. But in this case, there were a number of points where Mr. Asakhan said things that the immigration judge didn't follow up on. He said that the children were in foster care. The immigration judge didn't try to find out what that was like for the children. He said that the mother had abused the children. Mr. Asakhan said that the mother had hit the children. Mr. Asakhan didn't try to the immigration judge didn't try to ask what sort of situation that was. So there were a lot of issues.
Well, how would that have helped him? If he had not been deported, how would that have changed the hardships to the children?
If he were not deported, then he would be here to help care for the children, and so they wouldn't be...
But if they were in foster homes, how would his deportation have affected them?
Well, Your Honor, they're in foster homes because the immigration judge, because Mr. Asakhan is in immigration detention.
Was that the reason that they were in foster homes?
It's not, the record doesn't say it clearly, but they went into foster care at the time Mr. Asakhan was arrested.
Is any of this developed in the record?
Not very much, Your Honor, no.
Is that then what you're arguing, that that was the obligation of the immigration judge to develop the circumstances regarding the American citizen children?
Yes, Your Honor, and also the immigration judge had an obligation to develop the information concerning the domestic violence waiver. I'm sorry, Your Honor,
Well, we'll give you a co-counsel.
Okay, I'm going to turn it over to my co-counsel. I'm sorry for taking...
That's it. We'll give her time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Jamie Young, And as stated by my co-counsel, I will address the issue of how the IJ erred in denying Mr. Ostakhan's application for cancellation of removal because he applied an incorrect legal standard by failing to consider the crucial factor of hardship to Mr. Ostakhan's three U.S. citizen children in the event of removal. And Mr. Ostakhan did exhaust this issue in his brief to the BIA on page 9 of the administrative record, where he states that the IJ erred in denying his application for relief and that an IJ's decision should be set aside if it fails to consider all relevant evidence. The BIA has stated through case law that in the exercise of discretion in a particular case, the IJ is required to consider all facts and circumstances involved. And one of the several factors enunciated by the BIA in its cases is evidence of hardship to the respondent and his family if deportation occurs.
Can you tell us how your issue of IJ's consideration of hardship to the children is affected by Panjiliman, or to what extent you argue that his failure to develop the record is prejudicial to your client?
Yes, Your Honor. There was clear evidence in this case through Mr. Ostakhan's credible testimony that, as my co-counsel stated, that Leah Egos had hit the children, she used drugs, and she abandoned them and did not care for them while he was away at work. Thus, he was the only caring parent for them. And,
well, that part of the record is developed. What part do you contend is not developed?
Well, Your Honor, the immigration judge, in stating the law to be applied in Mr. Ostakhan's case, failed to actually apply all the factors that the immigration judge stated, especially the factor of hardship to the children. And that is where Mr. Ostakhan was prejudiced, because had the immigration judge weighed this factor, it may have affected its ultimate decision. The evidence showed, the immigration judge found in his factual findings that the children are currently in foster care and that they do not live with their mother. But in his analysis, in weighing the factors, the only mention of the children is an acknowledgement of their ages, that they are in good health, and that child support was automatically being taken out of Mr. Ostakhan's salary. However, this court stated in Figueroa v. Mukasey that in determining hardship, an immigration judge must not look only to the children's current condition, but to their future condition in the event of their parents' removal. And that is where the immigration judge erred, in that he failed to consider the future hardship to the children. In addition, this court stated in Georgiou v. INS that this court cannot assume the INS considered factors that it failed to mention. And thus here, where we have clear evidence of future hardship to the children, and the immigration judge failed to state this in his analysis, this supports our argument that he failed to consider this compelling factor of hardship at all, which then resulted in a legal error that requires reversal and remand by this court.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Case just argued will be submitted.
Oh,
sorry.
I'd like that.
Forgot about you.
All right. May it please the court. My name is Steele Lance Jolly.
I heard two, but they were both on the same side.
Yeah. That's right. All right. This case involves the discretionary denial of cancellation of removal of a lawful permanent resident. Accordingly, the court is limited to questions of law and constitutional issues which had been administratively exhausted. Thus, the court is limited to the question of whether the agency applied the correct standard and petitioner's due process claim based on the interpreter. Now, the immigration judge applied the correct standard. He balanced the adverse factors with the positive factors in reaching his decision. And as he applied the correct standard, that resolves that issue. And with respect to the petitioner's due process claim, Ostakhan understood the interpreter. The IJ cured any errors that were raised, and before the board, Ostakhan provided no specific basis as to how translation led to errors, though he certainly could have clarified any of his own testimony. Your Honor asked questions about Panjiliman. This case.
Before you get to that, did he weigh the effect on the children
He considered the children a positive factor in his analysis.
But did he weigh the effect on the children in considering deportation, the hardship to the children?
Well, it's obvious that there's going to be some hardship to the children based on the removal. And as he considered the children in the balancing process, he applied the correct standard.
Well, all he said is that he has three children.
Well, he said he has three U.S. citizen children.
Yeah.
The IJ considered what Asakan presented to him. He said, this is the kind of testimony that I want and I'm going to ask. And he also, at the end, said, do you have anything else to add? And
well, that was true in Pardon Gillen. And also he asked, do you have anything else to add? And we said, that doesn't matter.
But if you look at Pangilin and the cases it cites, this case is nowhere near the situation in Torres and Martinez Rosas, or it's not like Aguiman.
Well, we thought we were doing a little more in Pangilin, or we wouldn't have published it.
Yes. At the same time, if you read Pangilin, it's very brief and does not go into the circumstances of the case.
We thought we were just setting forth a nice, clear rule.
It states clearly what is expected.
That the IJ will develop the record when there's no attorney for it.
He did.
Not leave it up to the government to do it.
Well, how much... The IJ, is limited in a sense in time of how much he goes into.
But that's not what he did, is it? He said the same thing that the IJ said in Pangilin. And he said, well, now you're going to be asked questions by the government that are both good for you, bad for you. They'll develop the record, he said, basically.
The record was developed.
By the government, not by the IJ.
The IJ supplemented questions. The government wasn't the government's attorney was not the only person asking the questions. The IJ supplemented.
He clarified couple of questions that the government asked.
He clarified, but he also did some independent questioning as well. Let's see. He could have also raised
your contention that the issue of removability is not before us?
Correct. It was not exhausted to the board. Also, with respect to tie it back to Pangilin, he did not. The Pangilin issue is a due process issue, and it requires exhaustion. And
well, this case was decided after the hearing.
Yes, but the basis of the Pangilin decision that the IJ has this duty to develop the record was there. They could have made that argument before the board. They could not have cited, obviously, on Pangilin, but they could have made the argument, and they failed to do so. And this is exactly the type of due process argument that should be exhausted before the board. Now, with respect to removability, again, it was not exhausted, and you must exhaust removability issues, as this court held in Rendon.
What was exhausted before the board?
Please repeat.
What was exhausted before the board?
Before the board, he said basically the cancellation of removal claim. He said that the immigration judge basically challenged the weight of the immigration judge's balancing determination. While this court does not have jurisdiction over the actual weighing, liberally construed, the court has jurisdiction to determine whether the correct standard was applied. And is the respondent's position that the correct standard was applied in this case?
What was the correct standard that was applied?
The board has delineated the standard in matter of CVT, and an immigration judge, upon review of the record as a whole, must balance adverse factors evidencing the alien's undesirability as a permanent resident with the social and humane considerations presented in his or her behalf to determine whether the granting of relief appears in the best interest of this country. There's no stereotypical set of standards. And the IJ explained what needed to be presented. He considered the evidence. He balanced it and thus applied the correct standard.
Do you think that hardship to the American citizen children, separation from their father, loss of his support, is relevant or not relevant?
Well, the IJ said he would consider the hardship of the family, but at the same time, it's inherent that there is this hardship. And he asked about he knew about the child support and that he visits them once a month, and so he considered the children as a positive factor for the granting of cancellation of removal, but
I don't quite understand that. He considered a positive factor the existence of the children.
Well, if there's hardship to the children, that would be a positive factor for granting cancellation of removal. And so as he considered the children a positive factor, he considered the hardship.
What nature of hardship is required?
There's no set standard. It's basically a balancing. And Asakan's extensive criminal history.
Any hardship at all?
Any hardship at all? Well, it's a factor. How much it should play out. I don't think the board has really come out.
Does it have to be extreme hardship?
That's more akin to the exceptional, extremely unusual hardship for cancellation removal of a non-permanent resident alien. This deals with if you're statutory eligible for cancellation removal, are you going to grant it or not? And the board has not come out with a defined set of what hardship will lead to a grant of cancellation of removal as a discretionary determination.
Don't you think it's relevant? It says that in 2003 they went to foster parent care. Would it be relevant whether they went there while he was just going about doing whatever he was doing or because he was picked up for immigration and put into custody?
I'm not contending that his hardship's not relevant. If that's...
You're saying that...
IJ specifically said he considered hardship a relevant factor.
And...
Before the testimony was given, the previous hearing, he said, okay, this is what I'm going to look for. Come back. And he again explained that he's going to be balancing things, and then the testimony ensued. So there is no question that the hardship to the children, at least in this case, the IJ considered it a relevant factor. If the court has no other questions, the court should deny the petition for review as the immigration judge applied the correct legal standard and afforded due process to Asakan.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Okay, we've used your time, but we'll give you another 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honors. I'd like to just quickly address the issue of cancellation. Although there is no exhaustive list or an inflexible standard that must be applied, the BIA did state as a rule that an IJ must consider all relevant factors.
And Mr. Jolly just said that at the previous hearing, the IJ said, I'm going to weigh hardship and I'm going to take various things into account. Is that correct? Is that what he said?
Yes, that is correct, Your Honor. The IJ did state the rule or the law that he would apply in his decision. He stated, generally, this is the law that I'm going to apply, and listed several factors, including evidence of hardship to the respondent and his family. However, the IJ, in his analysis, then failed to actually apply this.
Well, then the next hearing, he goes through the factors, and he says, I'm cognizant of the fact that you have three children who are U.S. citizens, and I'm cognizant of the fact that you pay child support. And he went through that after the previous hearing saying, I'm going to weigh these considerations. Why isn't that adequate?
Your Honor, that is inadequate because simply acknowledging that the children exist and that Mr. Asakhan was supporting them is not actually considering the future hardship if Mr. Asakhan were removed. And as the IJ acknowledged, he was supporting them. He was the only one supporting them because their mother had abused them and abandoned them. And as a result, the IJ should have known that if Mr. Asakhan were removed, the children would suffer because they were placed in foster care around the same time that he was placed in detention. So it is very clear that the children would suffer hardship if their only caring parent were removed from this country. And the immigration judge's acknowledgement that this is a factor should be considered, but then failed to consider it, is where the IJ erred. And this court should reverse and remand the IJ's decision. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you all very much. The case just argued is really submitted this time. And the court will stand in recess for the day.